We're going to be talking this morning about prayer, and I'm really excited to talk about prayer. And what my desire is for this topic this morning is that you'll come away and just have this confidence to approach God in prayer. And so maybe you've been following God or going to church for a long time, but prayer is something that you're intimidated by, or you think, oh, I'm not very good at that. Or maybe you don't go to church very much. This is one of the first times, or you're kind of checking things out. My desire is that you would come away going, I can actually pray. And Jesus, one of the things that's incredible with Jesus is that there was all these religious people around during Jesus' day, people that were professional Christians that, you know, they were in the church their whole lives, but they were the ones that usually got really upset at Jesus for his teaching. And Jesus had this way of teaching to just a common person, and the person that was listening was a not a professional Christian, and they would hear and go, man, there's hope for me. Like, I can actually know God. I can pursue him. And so, really simply this morning, I just want to talk about prayer. But first, I want to compare kind of the world's idea of prayer. And so I have a slide up here. You'll see memes like this on Facebook all the time, right? And so this is kind of the idea that people have of prayer sometimes, right? And they're like, oh, I'll just call out to God for whatever, you know, I'm thinking. And there's another song. I want to read you guys words of this song. This was a popular song in 2009. It's a country song, and you might recognize it. I'm not going to sing it. You can thank me for that if you want. I do, actually. If you come into the church, sometimes I'm nervous. Sometimes I just get praying, and I'll be up here in the sanctuary area, and I'm praying like super loud and singing, and I think, man, like there's a lot of people that have a key. Like if somebody walks in right now, this would be really embarrassing because I'll sing sometimes at the top of my lungs. I just don't do it in front of people very often. So this is, it's called Pray For You. It was by a musician called Jaron Lowenstein. He was a country singer, and this song was back in 2009. And just listen to what he says. And this is kind of the idea of prayer, I think, that's popular in the world. But he talks in the song about he had all this anger towards somebody, like he was really bitter. Can you relate with that? You ever had a time in your life where you were just mad at someone? And you were like, oh, if I could just have my way, I would. And then you can fill in the blank, right? So he had this experience, and then he went to church, and he heard that he should pray for people. So this is his prayer. He says, I pray your brakes go out running down a hill. I pray a flower pot falls from the windowsill and knocks you in the head like I'd like to. I pray your birthday comes and nobody calls. I pray you're flying high when your engine stalls. I pray all your dreams never come true. And then he goes, just know wherever you are, honey, I pray for you. I was just thinking about prayer and how kind of the world's version of prayer, idea of prayer, is like we just pray for sometimes our selfish desires, you know, the things that we want, and we kind of hope that somewhere out in the universe, someone's listening and hears. But Jesus has this incredible teaching on prayer. And today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. And this is a really famous teaching on prayer. Jesus teaches what's called the Lord's Prayer. And I want to look at it from a different perspective this morning. And this Lord's Prayer is probably something that you've heard a lot over the course of your life, even if you're not someone who goes to church. Here in Thunder Bay, half of the schools are Catholic schools and half are just regular public schools. And so our kids go to the Catholic school system and we love that they get to pray, right? They get to learn things like the Lord's Prayer and so it's really cool. But in doing that, sometimes these things can become more of a routine and they lose the emphasis that God wants us to have in prayer is just coming to him in faith. And so before I read from Matthew chapter 6 and read the Lord's Prayer, I just want to remind you, last week, Randy talked about the love of God for us. And on the next slide, there's one thing that Randy pointed out, and he put it in the video, and I've been joking with Randy all week that he's going to be like a YouTube star. His little YouTube video that he put out, it's got like 150 or 160 views. I'm like, if this thing keeps climbing, like they're going to send you money, right? but if you haven't watched it yet, check it out. We put little videos out each week as a like kind of a reminder of the sermon, and we use it in the life group as a discussion starter. But one of the things Randy talked about in his message last week, and Randy's my father-in-law, by the way. They've been here visiting. They're leaving on Tuesday. We're sad to see them go, Randy and Joyce and Lena. But he talked about adoption back in biblical times. The Bible speaks of you and I Okay, so when we enter into a relationship with God, we're adopted into his family. And adoption is an incredibly powerful thing because the parents that are adopting a child have chosen that child. They've gone and said, I want you to be in my family. Like, we're making this decision, right? And so sometimes you have children that you didn't expect to have as parents, right? So Vicky and I always tell people, like, we have 5 kids right now, and we're not planning on having any more. But, I mean, I can't guarantee that, right? I know lots of stories. I think it was Tom telling me that his parents weren't supposed to have any more kids, and he came along, and so clearly God's got this plan on his life. So when you're having children of your own, sometimes it happens, and that wasn't necessarily the plan. But with adoption, there's this intentional, willful decision to say, I love this child, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this child into my family. That's powerful. So I just want you to know this morning, again, if you're here and this idea of following Jesus is new, God's love for you is amazing. I could not put it into words how much he loves you. The love that he has for you is beyond what I could ever describe. It's incredible. And so the reason he uses this word adoption is because it's the most powerful way to express love. And so in biblical times, you could adopt somebody of any age. Randy said this last week. The person that was adopting, they took on all of the debts of the person they were adopting, which is powerful. So if you adopted a 30-year-old and they had all kinds of debts, you took on that person's debts as the adopter. And the most powerful point, and Randy said this last week, the person who was adopting had to swear to love the person being adopted as much as they love their own children. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because the scriptures use the term adoption to describe our relationship with God. The way that God loves Jesus Christ is the way that he loves you. Like, that is incredibly, no matter what, like, all your flaws, all of the difficulties, all the weaknesses, all the things that are going on in your life that you're like, I'm not worthy, this just kind of excludes me from God. He has committed to love you as much as he loves Jesus Christ, his son. Like, there is an incredible freedom in that. Like, God's love for you is amazing. The reason that I've given my life to communicating God's word is because I'm like, this message is something the world needs to hear. Like, there is love, there is acceptance that's beyond anything you've ever known or experienced. His love for you is incredible. And Jesus' ministry, the whole reason Jesus came was to show us that we could have a relationship with God. And so I want to read, and before we get to Matthew 6, I want to read another verse. In John chapter 16, verse 23, Jesus is teaching his disciples, okay? And I just want to read this before we get to the Lord's Prayer. He says to them, he says, in that day, and Jesus is talking about, he says, you know, someday it's going to happen. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again. I'm going to go to heaven. And so his disciples were all like, man, Jesus, we don't want to see you ever leave. You know, we were kind of thinking you'd be the king and we'd be like your right-hand men and like we could help you rule, right? And Jesus was like trying to teach them something. No, I came for more than that. And so in this verse, John 16, 23, Jesus is saying to his disciples, to us, in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So Jesus is he's teaching about prayer, and he says to the disciples, you'll get to the point where you go to God directly. For you and I, that might not mean a whole lot, because, you know, maybe you've grown up in church or you've grown up hearing the Lord's Prayer and you're like, oh yeah, prayer, I guess I can pray, or people can pray, or that's kind of a normal thing that people do. But most people in Jesus' day had this fear of approaching God. And what Jesus came to do was he came to make it possible for you and I to talk to the creator of the universe. I get excited when I get to talk to somebody who has a really cool reputation or they've done something great, or I get to meet somebody that's famous or whatever. And I've often thought, oh, you know, it's been a couple weeks since I tripped over that, and I was thinking I was doing a really good job. I often just thought about how incredible it is that we get to talk to the creator of the universe. And so this week, I really want to encourage you, if you don't get anything else from what we're going to read and talk about today, I want you to go home with this realization that you can approach God in prayer. The creator of the universe wants to commune with you, wants to talk with you, wants to have a conversation with you. It's amazing. And in John 11, so Matthew chapter 6 is the Lord's Prayer. In John 11, or Luke chapter 11, there's another version of the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus in Luke, okay, we're going to read it from Matthew today, but he actually teaches the Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of Luke in response to a question. So the disciples, after they've spent a few years with Jesus, they come to him and they say, Jesus, would you teach us to pray? The reason I think this is profound is because the disciples had seen Jesus walk on water. If I was a disciple, I think the thing I would ask Jesus to do would be like, can you teach me to walk on water? That was super cool, right? Like he just like comes walking out, they're on a boat, and he comes walking out, right? And or they've also seen Jesus literally use his saliva and make mud out of dirt, and he put it on a guy's eyes, and the guy could see. And maybe you're new to church today. I'll also tell you this. You know that there's ancient historians that wrote around the time of Jesus, and they talked about this Jesus, this miracle worker. It's not just the Bible that talks about Jesus' miracles. He was known for doing miraculous things, right? It's incredible. You can look that up. I think I would have been like, hey, Jesus, that time you spit in the mud and like, you know, did that thing where the guy could see afterwards, could you show me how to do that, right? I'm sure Alan would have loved this. Alan's an eye doctor. He would have been like, Mick, how do you, like, mud on someone's eyes? Like, how does that work, right? We don't see that kind of thing happen very often. But what Jesus, what the disciples were asking Jesus to do is they said, would you teach us to pray? And what I really believe is happening here is that these men have spent years with Jesus. They've seen his incredible life. They've seen his humility. They've seen his power. They've seen his servant-heartedness. They've seen his love for people, even when he was the only one that had the right to judge and still didn't judge. They've seen this incredible life that Jesus lived, and they connected it to prayer. And so the one thing the disciples asked Jesus to teach them was prayer. Jesus, just teach us to pray. And that's my question, often. Like, oftentimes when we gather as a leadership team, and we pray through the week a couple different times as a team, I'm often just saying, Lord, just teach us to pray. Like, how is this? And so let's read, I'm going to pray before we read this, that God will speak to us. Lord, I just want to thank you for this passage of Scripture where you teach us to communicate with the Creator of the universe. So Lord, would you teach us to pray? Would you show us what it looks like to pray and to trust you? And would you just show us, Lord, what it looks like to be able to communicate with you with the confidence that you hear and the confidence that you answer. In Jesus' name, amen. So Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 5. It says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Lucy was asking me the other day about seeing God. She's like, I just really want to see God. Like, and then for some reason we get talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so Lucy was like, I think God has like, it's like Jesus on half of his face, and then it's God on the other half of his face. And it was this really interesting conversation because she was like saying like, he's this unseen, but I want to see him. And I was like, yeah, me too. It didn't go very much further. I think sometimes Lucy has more to teach me. So pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. We're going to focus on that verse in a minute. But I love how Jesus says that. Don't keep babbling on like these pagans. They think that their many words are what's going to hear them. Just listen to the simplicity of how Jesus prays. So he's told us two things. He says, don't pray just to be seen like a hypocrite who says one thing and does another. And don't think that having all kinds of words is going to make you heard. He says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask. Isn't that incredible? Before you and I ever approach God, he already knows what you need. So really, what God is looking for from you and I is just to approach him. It's not to get all the words right. It's not to have everything all figured out, but just approach him. Jesus is saying, and he's like putting the crowds at ease. He's saying, this God, this creator of the universe, he knows what you need. Just come. Verse 9 says, this then is how you should pray. And just listen to the simplicity of what Jesus says. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts and as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I would love to be able to sometime spend more time working through that whole prayer, because there's a lot of things in there that are really profound. But really, what Jesus is saying to you and I is just so simple. Just approach God. And so I want to focus on three things about what Jesus is teaching us about prayer. And the reason I read the verses before the actual prayer is because Jesus tells us how we're supposed to approach God. And so first thing he talks about is our motives in prayer. And then he talks about our qualifications in prayer. So what I mean by that is sometimes we think we have to be super qualified to approach God in prayer. Sometimes as a pastor, when I'm at an event or somewhere, if we're going to pray over a meal or pray over somebody, people are like, oh, get the pastor to pray, right? But do you know that in Jesus' teaching, he was kind of trying to get people to go away from that. He's saying, you don't have to be some like elite spiritual person to pray. Just come to God in faith. He actually, and it's really neat, he does this a lot. He always kind of like pushed away the idea that there was like these people that were more spiritual because they wore like spiritual robes and they were higher class, higher spirituality than people. Jesus was teaching the everyday average person, and he was saying, just come to God. Like, you can pray. You don't have to have this elite knowledge. You don't have to have all your words figured out. Sometimes the most simple prayers are the ones that God loves the most. One of my favorite prayers in all of Scripture, and you've heard me say it before, is this guy says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Like, it was so simple. He's like, Lord, I believe you can do this, but part of me doesn't believe, so just help me in the part that doesn't believe. And Jesus loved that prayer because it was this authentic approach to God. And so today, if you're intimidated by coming to God in prayer, what Jesus is saying is don't be intimidated. Just approach God. And then the third thing I want to focus on is just relax, pray, and trust. And so in talking about motives, I just want to read again verses 5 and 6 in this passage. Jesus says, and I love how Jesus teaches, okay? Because he always teaches in a way that he just kind of shakes things up. Gene and I were talking this morning about how a lot of Jesus' teachings, he just challenged people. So I have a hard time. If I read the scriptures with honesty in my heart, I'm challenged over and over again because I see things in me that he's saying, no, like, don't do it that way, do it this way. And so verse 5, he says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. So there's a guy named Barclay, he's a Bible commentator, and on the slide here, he says, the real fault of the people who Jesus was criticizing was that they were praying to men and not God. So sometimes in our prayer, we're more concerned with what people see than with what God sees. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. Don't be concerned with that. You know, I have a friend that she's just really kind-hearted, and she loves people. She's not a follower of Jesus, and so when she wants to tell people that she's, you know, praying for them, she'll say, like, I'm just sending positive thoughts your way, which I think is a really kind thing, you know, to think positively about somebody. But sometimes, like, our idea is like, well, if I get people to buy in, if I get people to do nice things, that'll change things. And what Jesus is teaching here is, like, forget about people. You know, if you look around the world, the mess that we're in is a result of our decisions a lot of times, the things that we do and don't do, the things that we give into. And Jesus is teaching here, he's saying, like, when you pray, like, forget about whether people think you're cool or a spiritual person. Like, just come to God authentically and approach him because you believe. You know that the thing that God looks for more than anything when we approach him in prayer is just faith. Do you come to God in faith? And my question, and what I want to encourage you with, sometimes we ask that question, and maybe when I ask that question, your thought is, well, I don't have very much faith, so maybe I can't approach God in prayer. Well, that favorite prayer that I mentioned to you, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. If that's you today and something's stirring in your heart and you're going, I want to approach God in faith, I want to go towards him with belief in my heart, but I don't know if I can, just tell him that. Just come. What Jesus is, like, he just gives us this really simple prayer, and he's saying to the common person, like, don't go, you know, broadcasting your spirituality or think that you have to be something awesome or look good in front of people. Just come to God. Just come to him. He even tells people, like, go in your room in the secret where nobody sees and just pray to God. And I would encourage you to, as weird as that might feel, to, even if it's a couple minutes in a day, just to go somewhere where there's no one around and just pray. And say, God, I'm gonna do this in faith. Second thing to highlight is your qualifications in prayer. So I have this firm belief. I want to read again, and it's going to be up on the screen. Matthew 6, verse 7, Jesus says, and this is such a convicting thought. He says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. I don't know why. I had this thought. I was reading this verse, and I just thought of, like, people. Have you ever, like, listened to somebody that just drones on and on and on, and you're like, maybe you feel like that right now. I don't know. But come on, right? But I just had this picture of God, like somebody going to God, and they think that they're going to be heard because they have all these clever words, and they're able to put their words together, and God's like, you know what I mean? Like sometimes how we do when we're like, the person is just going on and on and on, not really getting anywhere, not really saying anything. When we go to God and we think we're going to be heard because we have all these amazing words, he's like, no, that's not what it is at all, right? And I have this really firm belief, and over the last few years, it's become more rooted in my heart that sometimes people that are in the ministry, so pastors and worship leaders and people that pray publicly all the time, sometimes I think we make people feel like they can't approach God. Have you ever, and you don't have to put your hand up or anything, but have you ever been somewhere and heard somebody pray and thought, like, oh, I can't pray like that, so I just won't, right? And so you feel almost inferior. Well, Jesus is saying, he's saying right here, when you pray, like, don't think you're going to be heard because of your many words. It's not because you're clever and able to put things together and you say it really well that I hear you. It's just the simplicity of faith. That's why when Jesus, like the funny miracles Jesus did, like taking his saliva and putting it in the mud and healing somebody, I think the reason he did that was because he was like, I'm going to do things that just blows people's mind. Because God responds to faith, not to all our cleverness and all of the things that we think we need to have in order to access God. He's not impressed by what impresses us. I was reading last night, we read this storybook Bible to the kids before they go to bed, and we were reading about the story of King David. And when King David was chosen, he had seven other brothers. And so this prophet, Samuel, was told by God, he said, God said to Samuel, listen, the king that's in place right now, his name is Saul, he's this evil king, I've chosen another king. And he's going to be the son of a man named Jesse. So I want you to go to Jesse's house, and I'm going to tell you who's going to be the next king, and you're going to pick him, right? So Samuel gets there, and he says to Jesse, you know, God's told me that I'm going to anoint one of your sons to be the king. So Jesse goes and gets seven of his sons and puts them right in front of Samuel. And these guys are like buff, good-looking guys. And back in those days, if you were going to be the king, you had to be super strong, and you had to be somebody that people looked at and thought, that guy could be the king. Because in those days, it was really important to be able to be a strong warrior. Right? So if you were like a gladiator type guy, you were like probably going to be chosen for the king, right? Because you could wield a sword and people were like confident in that. So Jesse brings out his seven sons and Samuel stands in front of each one of them. And the first one, he's convinced, like this guy, Eliab, he's definitely going to be the king. He's super strong. He's buff. He's got what it takes. And God's like, nope, not him. And so he goes down through the list, all seven of them. And each time God says to Samuel, it's not that one. And so Samuel's confused and he looks at Jesse and he goes, like, do you have another son? Because, I mean, I know God told me that it was one of your sons, but I don't see any of these guys here. God keeps saying it's not this guy. And Jesse kind of like rolls his eyes and he's like, well, there is this one little guy out in the field. Like he smells funny and he's with the sheep and like nobody really likes him, but that's why I didn't bring him in. And so Samuel says, well, bring him, right? So then he brings him. And even Samuel, this prophet of God, is thinking, surely this guy can't be it. And God says, no, it's David, because in his heart, he trusts God. In his heart, he loves me and I'm going to use him, right? And God speaks to Samuel and that says, you know, it's not what people see on the outside that I see. I see what's going on in the heart. And so that's what Jesus is pushing back on here. Sometimes we come to God and we think that we're going to be heard because of our many words. And God's like, no, it's faith. Just come. When I was, and Randy's my father-in-law, and I mentioned last week before he got up and preached that he's a huge mentor of mine. And back, oh, I was like, probably like 14 years ago, he used to lead this summer mission outreach team. So every summer, there was 15 youth that would travel for 2 months all over the Maritimes, and he was the leader. And so this was before I married his daughter. She was on the truck. This was the summer we actually fell in love. We were out on the trucks, and I was with another guy that his dad was a pastor as well. And every morning, we would meet for devotions. And so a lot of the kids that were coming, some of them were coming from having been in addiction recovery programs. Some of them were coming from broken homes. And so we would, but all summer long, we were together as a team and we would do performance arts and share the gospel. But we would meet for devotions in the morning, and me and this other guy, whenever it came time to pray, like, we would pray these really long prayers because we were super passionate. And I remember one time Randy pulling us aside, and he's like, Nathan and Josh, like, you guys have got to stop praying so long because it makes all the other kids feel like they can't pray. And I don't, like, he was basically saying, like, stop babbling on about nothing, right? Like, you're just saying a bunch of words, right? Like, just come to God in faith, and it'll show other people that they also can come to God. And I never forgot that, because I was thinking, like, even in the way that I was praying in that moment was causing other people to think, I could never do that. And what Jesus is saying here is, he's like, so when you pray, like, don't feel like you've got to babble on. Don't feel like you've got to have, like, it all figured out and make your words come together well. Just come to God. If I could express to you this morning how much God loves you, like, his desire for you is just that you would approach him in prayer, just that you would come to him. And maybe for you it's simple. Maybe for you starting off praying is just a couple words and you feel really insignificant. Maybe you hear a pastor pray or somebody pray at church and you're like, oh, I just could never do that. If, like, take Jesus' authority, not man's. And I try to remind this to people very often, like, don't take what I say as if it's true. Like, if it doesn't line up with what God says, then don't listen to it. And what Jesus is clearly saying here is he's teaching to the common person. He's saying, approach God in prayer. I've made a way for you to be able to talk to the creator of the universe. It is incredible. And the last thing to highlight in this is relax in prayer. So Jesus says, let me just show you this before we do that. The next slide. This is really funny. I'll read it out just in case you can't see it. So this is Jesus, and he's talking to a bunch of theologians, okay? And so he says, and this is a famous verse from Scripture. It says, and Jesus said to the theologians, who do you say that I am? Now listen to their babbling on reply. They replied, you are the eschatological manifestation of the ground of our being, the kerygma of which we find the ultimate meaning in our interpersonal relationships. And Jesus said, what? Right? Jesus was saying to them, like, who do you say that I am? And they're supposed to, like, be able to recognize who he is. He's the Savior. And they're trying to impress him with his words. And he's like, what are you talking about? Right? And so the thing he responds to the most is faith. And Scripture clearly says every single person in this room has been given a measure of faith. The series that we're in, building a fire from flicker to flame, every single person, if you're alive and you're breathing oxygen today, you've got a flicker inside of you. The Bible says we were created in the image of God. The reason you have a conscience, the reason that you enjoy beauty, the reason you desire things that are good, because God put that desire in you to lead you to him. One of the ways that we can turn that little flicker into a raging flame is by approaching God in prayer. Jesus knows this, and his challenge to us is, do it. Come to the Lord in prayer. And so this last point I want to highlight. So in prayer, I want to encourage you to relax as you approach him and just trust. So there's another slide going to come up, and there's two verses on there. He said, and Jesus, in verse 8, he says, your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. So then he says, pray this way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know that, afresh, I've been really encouraged by these words from Jesus? Because what he's saying here is he's saying, God already knows your needs. So when you come, pray, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know that there's been times in my life that God has answered prayers that I haven't even prayed for specifically? I used to think that I had to make sure I got the whole list right. Like, if God was actually going to, like, listen to me and hear my prayer and give me what I need, then I had to at least say it, right? And what Jesus is teaching here is he's saying, God knows the things that you need before you even ask him. So when we come to God and we say, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, we're giving him permission to have his way in our life. There was some times in my life, I remember one time I had to leave my job for this whatever reason, long story, but I had to leave my job, and I remember doing it, and it was an act of faith, and I went and told my boss, and before I even had time to worry about how I was going to have another job to provide for my family, I got a phone call, and I got this other job. And I remember looking back on it, like, thinking, God, I didn't even pray to ask you for that. Like, I forgot. I was so worked up about having to go and approach my boss and leave the job. and God provided for me before I even asked for him to do it. And that's happened in my life over and over again. And God has reminded me of times where I've just prayed and said, Lord, let your will be done, not mine. And the other thought with this, sometimes bad things happen in our life that are really discouraging. Probably every single person in this room has gone through a season where you've felt like, does God even care? Does he love me? Is he here? And you know that this prayer, if you're praying this in faith, that God uses every circumstance in your life and can bring good out of it. He doesn't cause the bad things. He doesn't cause the evil things. But he can use every circumstance in your life for good and to draw you close to him. So there's been times in my life where I've gone through seasons of darkness and difficulty and discouragement to the point where I felt like giving up. Like there's been times in my life where I've thought, do I even want to continue pursuing God? And I've always had a passion for ministry. I've been involved in it since I was young. But there's been times where I've contemplated, Lord, I don't even know if I want to continue doing this. How can I go and continue preaching and telling people of your goodness when I don't even know if I believe it for me, right? And I've wrestled through that. And in those really dark times in my life, God has reminded me of times where I've prayed, God, whatever you need to do in my life to make me more like you, just do it. And it's been this comfort, because praying that way, what Jesus is teaching us to do is it's like we're saying to God, okay, Lord, here, you take control of my life. And if we're honest, when I've stepped back and thought about it, the messes that I've gotten into in my life have been my fault. I've been the one that have said things or done things that have gotten myself into these situations. And even the situations that are not my fault, and when we talk about things like abuse and some of the things that you've gone through, things that have been done to you, right? And those are painful things, and we don't talk about those things a lot. But even in that, what Jesus is saying is if we come to him and say, Lord, your will be done in my life, I give you charge, he can take any dark, difficult, horrible situation and turn it around for good. And so what Jesus is challenging us to do is to come to God, relax, and trust him. And I'll tell you, the people that have the most incredible stories of overcoming abuse and adversity and difficulty and challenge have been because they've come into this place of being able to trust God and know that he really is in charge. And so Jesus, the most incredible thing about the gospel message is that Jesus, and Randy said it last week, Jesus didn't come to give us a list of things like just do all this and then you'll be good to go as long as you meet the requirements. Jesus came to say, I'm your Savior. Trust me. And so approaching God in prayer isn't something we can do because of our merit, because of our goodness. None of us deserve it. One of my favorite preachers, he says it this way. He says, you're actually worse than you think you are, but you're way more loved than you ever thought was possible. Like that's the gospel in a nutshell, is that you're way worse than you even would like to admit or ever thought, but you're so much more loved than you ever dreamed of. And so the gospel, and this is why it didn't make sense to some of the professional Christians of the day, because what Jesus was saying was, all you need to do is trust me. And they were thinking, well, I need to have all the right words. I need to have everything figured out. I need to do everything the right way. And Jesus was saying, no, just trust me. I'm the Savior. Put your faith in me. And my challenge to you this morning, I don't know where you're at with things, is just to trust God. And so in response to this, we're going to partake in communion this morning. And I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And I'm going to explain how we're going to do this. And what I want to encourage you with is to pray. So if you take one thing from today, I want to encourage you to pray, to go to the Lord in prayer in trust. And I wanted to do communion today in response to this after this message, because Jesus, when he offered us communion or the Eucharist, what he was teaching was that his life in us is what makes it possible to approach God. And so if you're here today and you believe in Jesus, you're putting your faith, your trust in him, I want to welcome you to take part in communion. If you're here today and you're like, well, I don't really follow Christ, I'm not sure I believe it, there's no pressure to come and partake in it, and don't feel bad to not partake in it. But what Jesus offered us with communion, and communion is kind of a funny thing, because if you're not somebody who goes to church very often, you may be like, what is this? Like, what does this even mean? And I want to read to you Jesus' words about communion, and then I'll explain how we'll do it. In Mark chapter 14, it'll be up on the screen, verse 22 to 24, Jesus is with his disciples, And it says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. And so what Jesus is saying to us in communion is that as we partake in this, we're saying to Jesus, I trust what you've done for me. You've made it possible for me to have a relationship with God. So Jesus went to the cross in our place, died, was crucified, and rose again. And when he was giving this practice to the disciples, he was saying, when you get together, and what he was doing was simplifying it. They were sitting around a table having a meal together, and he said, taking me in is like having a meal. You're receiving me in faith, right? So he was really simplifying it. So he said, the cup, the wine that they were drinking, he said, this represents my blood. The bread represents my body. You receiving my sacrifice for you is what this represents. And so I just want to encourage you today, like if God is warming your heart, we're going to do this together as an act of faith and as a reminder of Jesus' death and his resurrection. And there's this celebration with that because we're a part of his resurrection, which is this incredible truth. And so we're going to do this together. And as you do, because we talked about prayer, if the Lord's been stirring your heart at all, I want to encourage you as we take communion, even to just commit to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to approach you in prayer. Even if it's like a 30 seconds a day type thing, I'm going to come to you and receive you.